Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment. I'm Harold Fisher.
It's been said that his legacy is complicated because of a sexual assault charge, which was dismissed in 2003, 2004. Is it complicated for you as a woman, as a WNBA player?
Kobe's, he was never like that. I just never have ever seen him being the kind of person that would be, do something to violate a woman or be aggressive in that way. That's just not the person that I know.
She is the highest profile woman anchor in America. She is an iconic. He is an iconic hip-hop personality. CBS This Morning anchor Gayle King and rapper Snoop Dogg clashing over King's interview with Kobe Bryant's friend, WNBA basketball star Lisa Leslie. Now, that interview, that portion that you just heard, prompted bristling reaction online from Snoop Dogg days later.
What do you gain from that? I swear to God, we the worst. We expect more from you, Gayle. Don't you hang out with Oprah? Why are y'all attacking us? We your people. You ain't coming after Harvey Weinstein asking them dumbass questions. I get sick of y'all. I want to call you one. Is it okay if I call him one? Funky dog head.
Well, tonight we are hashing out the issues surrounding the interview, Snoop Dogg's comments. My guests are Dr. Natalie Hopkinson, professor in the Department of Communications, Culture, and Media Studies here at Howard University, and Maisha Kai, managing editor of The Glow Up on thegrio.com. If you have comments or questions, and I know you do, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Dr. Hopkinson, thanks for joining me. I appreciate it.
Sure.
Okay. And Ms. Kai, thank you so much for joining the conversation.
Hi. I just want to clarify, I'm actually at the Root, not the Grio.
Ah, forgive me. I appreciate that so very, very much. Let us talk about the right and the wrong of it. Dr. Hopkinson, who's right and who's wrong with this exchange?
First, I'd like to say I loved Maisha's piece on this, and I love her bio, Nuances or Superpower, because I think that's what's missing from a lot of these conversations is the nuance. I think everybody's a little bit wrong, but I think Snoop is really wrong. And it's really like, you know, when you get to the point where you're like high-fiving Bill Cosby on Instagram, you know, thank you, Uncle Bill. Like, that's really where things went all the way left in what might have been a legitimate question, because I think many of us who are in mainstream media, we find ourselves like Gail. You know, maybe she's the most powerful anchor, as you mentioned, but she's still within a white organization that really does trade in certain stereotypes. So what the fact that she backtracked and said, well, it was out of context and the clip and blah, blah. Well, she, as a black woman, she really needs to be like, that's the things that you have to be really vigilant about. Like, you can't just hand them the content and then trust that they're going to deal with it sensitively when we're talking about our community. But at the same time, it was like these were legitimate questions to ask. And so, like, the violence that sort of the rhetoric towards Gayle was really like way more troubling, you know, than, you know, maybe. You know, maybe what the treatment was, you know, in the press. So that's what I'm really troubled about.
Mm-hmm. Ms. Kai, your thoughts about that?
Well, first of all, thank you. but I agree. I think, you know, the thing with the Gayle issue, you know, I get that a lot of people are really grieving. This is very raw for people. I wasn't even a Kobe Bryant fan, and I grieved heavily over this. I have been grieving heavily over this. It's a devastating tragedy. Gayle is also a journalist, and I do wish that she had not. I mean, I cringed when she asked the question. I was like, oof. But then I also wish she had not then later disavowed her own agency in that, because here's the thing: all of us as journalists on this, you know, on this talk right now, you know, we know she would have been accused of soft peddling had she not asked the question. It is a part of his life. It is not an indictment to say that. It's just a fact. And I wish she hadn't kind of disavowed her own power in that moment. I do agree that she should have shepherded that process, given the power that she has.
Well, if I may, let's listen to exactly what she said after the fact, specifically as it related to her own network.
For the network to take the most salacious part when taken out of context and put it up online for people who didn't see the whole interview is very upsetting to me, and that's something I'm going to have to deal with them.
So here's my thing with that. I just really have two words. Come on, Gail. You know better. Because some of the most, quote-unquote, as she just said, salacious parts, as she described them, of her interview with R. Kelly were also promoted. I really think that this is about, you know, clutch the pearls. I've said something, whether you can say I've done my job or not, but she essentially was in a position where she had to ask some really difficult questions about someone who was universally loved. Okay.
Well, was he universally loved?
I would. Let me say this. I'm like you, Ms. Kyle. I'm not a basketball fan, nor am I a Kobe Bryant fan. So that's my disclaimer. But I would say that when making a comparison between R. Kelly and Kobe Bryant, I would argue that Kobe Bryant would win. Okay.
And I'm but not I don't. That's so. Kind of not a race. You know, like that's not a like who's the worst rapist than the other? Like that's
here's the thing, that's a pretty low bar. His charges were thrown out. Okay. R. Kelly is still
in
jail.
So here's where I, you know, and this is, we talked about this in my class earlier today, and I was really a bit troubled that we went to that. Like, why are we going back to litigating the case again?
Yep.
Because the whole thing is we're changing the subject again, and we're getting back to this. And it's like, so, you know, to me, the what I was really troubled online is seeing both from black men, black women, everybody universally saying he's universally loved, first of all, and that our universal highest the highest priority is making sure his image is right.
Right.
And I don't think that that's what our highest priority is. Our highest priority is telling the truth, is accepting ourselves as flawed, nuanced people, you know, good and bad. He is not a god. You know, he makes mistakes like anybody else. But
I agree.
To go back to Gail, to sort of pile on with her a little bit, I thought it was a little bit awkward for her to ask, like, why does the other woman have to answer for that?
You know, right.
You know, like, that was kind of strange, too. Like, why does Lisa Leslie, why does she have to answer for Kobe and what he did or did not do?
So let me ask. Oh, okay. That's the question I was about to ask. Would it have made a difference if she had asked the same question of Shaq?
I mean, I think, look, we've seen the vehement reaction. I don't think this is a question that's going to go over well with anybody who knew him personally and loved him. And I think we know that out the gate. I think that's entirely acceptable, particularly when that community in particular is grieving. You know, the rest of us, you know, we lost someone. But to most of us, Kobe, you know, even if you thought Kobe was a hero, he was likely somebody you never met, did not know personally, and is a public figure. And therefore, yes, in the entirety of his life is, you know, it's up for discussion. But I definitely had that feeling when she was talking to Lisa. First, my feeling was like, well, I mean, what do you expect her to say, number one?
She's his friend.
Number two. Right.
Yeah, but so she's his friend, so she has to answer for what he did in Colorado
exactly.
All these years ago?
It was just very weird. The whole thing was the weird line of questioning, especially when you knew what the answer was going to be. And yes, as a woman, I think it put Lisa in a really difficult position. And I think Lisa handled it gracefully, but also, like, let's be honest, it wasn't a great answer. know, given the culture that we live in right now, and we seem to like gloss right over that, but it was not a great answer, which is why I wish Gail had not asked it of her.
So so here's my question, because yes, when I first heard about it, I kind of winced because, like you were saying, this is a part of his life. Yes, it did happen. But I kind of believe that because the case was, because it was dropped and that it was, settled, and it gets to the point where we start saying we just don't know what happened. But what should Gail have asked? And who should she have asked as it relates to this issue?
Well, I think that, I think it's totally legitimate and fair to wince, and to be like, okay, that was awkward.
But she asked too much.
Where I'm really troubled, though, is where it went, as far as Snoop Dogg. Like, it's a different thing to say, Gail, that was really a weird question. Like, why would you ask that? But it's a whole other thing to start calling people, dogs and B words and threatened by, to me, it just sort of taps into this like almost primal feeling that people feel like, okay, the most important thing is the black man's image.
Right.
And anybody who, and there's nothing else, that there's no other question that is worthy of demeaning that image. And that's just not the world that we're in. And, and it, what it does is it really silences a lot of, it further silences a lot of conversations that we actually need to have out in the open.
Yeah. Well, I would say, Ms. Kai, as it relates to, Snoop Dogg, just when you think that he has evolved.
Right.
From Martha Stewart to everything else.
He reminds you of
who he is. He reminds you of who he is. And it was awful.
He was on brand with that. He was on brand. And this is the thing that really, even in this discussion, we're doing it again, because it's like all of a sudden it becomes about Kobe. Here's the thing. Kobe defended himself. And, and this whole conversation about, it's too soon to bring it up. They had 17 years. And I'm like, right. And it was brought up 2 years ago when he was first nominated and then won the Oscar, and nobody wanted to talk about it then either. So I'm not going to play this like intellectually dishonest game where we act like there was a better time to talk about it. Rape culture is difficult to talk about.
Yeah.
And whether or not you believe Kobe was guilty, and that is not something for us to litigate, by the way. It's irrelevant, because what it really speaks to is this broader culture that we don't want to talk about that creates this. And it's so ironic that in the midst of defending his friend of even factual information,
mm-hmm.
in which he was accused of abusing a woman, that Snoop resorted to abusing a woman.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes. We can stop the show right there.
And then gave
that's the statement.
And then
right
gave a social media high five to Bill Cosby, who's in jail for raping women.
Oh, my Lord. Yeah.
No, I mean, and endorsing him. And
Uncle Bill,
way,
really?
As I said to somebody, exactly. As I said, I think I ended up having to write a follow-up to this because, we are journalists, and there are things sometimes we have to write. And, in the wake of this controversy, it was so interesting to me. I'm like, so you then brought Bill Cosby out the woodwork, and here's the craziest part. None of us were conflating Kobe with R. Kelly or Bill Cosby. Snoop did that.
Yep.
He did that to his friend, not us.
But so here's my question. Was Snoop right about the Harvey Weinstein comment?
Well, if you notice, he also said that those BS questions. As if Harvey Weinstein was not a legitimate question to ask.
Right, because
asking them these dumbass questions. Yeah,
either they're all right to ask or none of them are right to ask.
Well, let's be honest. Harvey Weinstein isn't even taking a stand in his own trial. So the idea that Gail would not take an interview with Harvey Weinstein had she had the chance is, again, intellectually dishonest. Gail did interview Weinstein's attorney last fall. Oprah's spoken to several of his accusers and made her own comments about it. And yes, there are pictures of them smiling together. There's pictures of Weinstein smiling with pretty much everybody famous ever before 2017. That was his brand.
You know? It's a way to change the subject, you know, and, you know, and so they're sort of like, well, what about, you know, the what about
is the what about
is very like, no, we're this is what we're talking about right now. And let's stay focused on that. And let's just have
it's low hanging fruit. It's
yeah.
Stupid. Yeah.
Let me go to the phone lines. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about the dust up between Gayle King and Snoop Dogg. What do you think? Let's talk to Glenn. Glenn, calling from Waldorf. What's on your mind?
How you doing? Thank you for taking my call. First of all, I'd like to say I do not follow sports. None of it. I think it's all rigged. Second of all,
okay.
Second of all, I saw two interviews with Snoop. He was correct in the first interview. He went to the left in the second interview when he called the lady names. That shouldn't have been, and he was very aggressive in that. So he was right the first time, wrong the second time. As far as Gayle is concerned, what do we expect? We as African Americans expect that when these folks get into a certain upper echelon of life, that they still feel like we do. No, they have no longer, they are no longer black. Because they have to dance to a whole nother drum to keep their little money coming. Any publicity is good publicity. Yes, she was wrong for the question she asked. She could have asked Kobe years before he died about that and had it, and had it from the horse's mouth. But I believe Mr. Dyson said it best. He said that, hey, look, we have to forgive people. We have to forgive people when they're wrong. And even though we know Gayle was wrong and she was doing what her handlers wanted her to do, hey, we still have to forgive her.
Okay. Glenn, thank you so much. Real quick, I've got about a minute before the break. Was she wrong, Dr. Hopkins?
I think it was an awkward question. I think it was, you know, I think there's a lot to critique about what the question was and then also the way that it was packaged online. Mm-hmm. So I think there's a lot to critique there. But again, like I don't like this. I stand with this, you know, like I don't like the sort of
the hashtag I stand with.
No, it's, yeah. Well, it's just very simplistic, you know. Yep. So like ultimately I stand with her in the fact that she's a journalist, she's a professional. And the question about Kobe's past was in bounds. Like, I don't think it's ever too. In fact, for me, that was literally the first thing I thought about. I wonder if they're going to talk about Colorado when I first heard
first
about it. Maybe that's my training as a journalist. That's the first thing I thought about. And I think that you shouldn't be afraid to ask the questions that are hard and uncomfortable sometimes. But she didn't do it. She didn't do a great job at it. But she just does not deserve what has happened.
Let me take a quick break. We will continue this conversation on Sirius XM channel 141. So if you're on the phone, please stay with us. Arthur calling from D.C. Corinne calling from Virginia. We're going to talk to you next. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Don't forget, you can hear every edition of the Daily Drum Insight segment in its entirety via podcast on WHUR.com. Click on shows and then drop down to podcast. You'll find the program you want to hear. Angela Stribling is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. This conversation continues on Sirius XM, channel 141, in about 15 seconds.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, Sirius XM Channel 142, HBCU, and Sirius XM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We are talking about the controversy between CBS This Morning anchor Gayle King and rapper Snoop Dogg. My guests are Dr. Natalie Hopkinson, professor in the Department of Communications, Culture, and Media Studies at Howard University, and Maisha Kai, managing editor of The Glow on TheRoot.com. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Corinne, calling from Virginia. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, I'd just like to make a quick comment. First, I feel
Ms. Gill, I just feel like the question, and I'm getting a little take on the ladies that are speaking tonight as well and getting a more clear understanding as far as the journalist is concerned. I just feel like it was the wrong time to ask the question. And like the lady said, I feel like, you know, they're asking his friend Lisa Leslie the question. And I honestly feel that that should have been a conversation while he was here that he could answer himself. That's how I feel. I just feel like, you know, his fans, as well as Snoop, are still grieving, understand why he was upset, but I do not agree with the name calling that he did as relates to Ms. Gill.
Corinne, when's the right time to ask that question?
I mean, I feel like, I mean, it does go along with him because that's something that happened during his career. I just feel like, and I'm just, you know, I'm not a journalist, so I don't know. I just feel like, you know, he hasn't even been buried yet. And, you know, that it was an interview that he did with Lisa Leslie. I just feel like, you know, I don't think he expected the question to be asked, but I feel like she can't answer for him, like, as early to, you know, his legacy. I feel like that's something that he can only, but, like, he can answer.
Okay. Thank you so much. Arthur, calling from D.C. Hold on 1 second, Ms. Kai. I'm going to let you respond after we hear from Arthur.
Sure.
Go right ahead, Arthur. What's on your mind?
How you doing? Yeah, I kind of, like, feel the same way a little bit on how everybody else was feeling. The timing was on because she could have asked that question before he passed away. And, you know, being it's so close to when he passed away. And now, like the young lady just said, the family's grieving. So now you're putting a log on top of a fire, and then you start to put this animosity in people against you. Now, she's a journalist, and she knows better. As all journalists know better, you got to be careful of what you say out your mouth because it will come back and bite you in your butt. And this thing with us black and our black folks, our black women attacking the black men, the black men attacking the black women, when are we going to start having a unity? And when are we going to start doing things to unify? Because everything that we do in media right now, dealing with black people on both sides, we destroying our own. So then we get around, march, and fuss and complain, mm-hmm. but we're the ones that are hurting our own people.
Okay. Arthur, thank you so much. Ms. Kai, go right ahead. You were about to make a comment.
Well, I was just going to, you know, I was really, actually, I'm struck by both those comments because I think they're both relevant. In terms of the question itself, there's a few things. First of all, it's just, if you don't know the way journalism works, it's highly unlikely, actually, that at least that first question, because there was that follow-up question, I think actually pushed the awkward moment where Gail said, but as his friend, you wouldn't know. But ahead of the interview, a lot of times with these high-profile people, and Lisa Leslie is a high-profile person, I don't know whether or not she pre-approved those questions, but a lot of times we're asked to submit questions ahead of time. So there is a chance that she actually knew she would be asked that. And again, it would have been basically just a PR piece had Gail not asked it. But, you know, in terms of the way that it's been handled, in terms of the way that we are asked to hold space, I was really struck by our first caller who said, well, she's not black anymore because she's got money or she's high profile. And I thought to myself, well, what a limited scope of blackness then, because as we've seen in this controversy, you know, we run the gamut. And I don't want to give short shrift to us as a culture, as a people, and our bandwidth to hold multiple truths in the same space. And that's what's being asked here in this moment.
Well, let's listen to another part of that interview. And we only have, you know, a portion of it, but this is exactly what you were talking about, Ms. Kai. I believe this is the second mm-hmm. question.
Is it even a fair question to talk about it, considering he's no longer with us and that it was resolved? Or is it really part of his history?
I think that the media should be more respectful at this time. It's like if you had questions about it, you've had many years to ask him that.
The media be more respectful. That, yeah.
Unfortunately, that's not what we do.
No, yeah, no, that it, you know it isn't. And
you're not a PR. You're not the PR agent. Like right. To be a black journalist is you're not charged with like uplifting and making sure everybody's gets the right the picture, get the best side taken in the picture.
Not if you want to be considered a legitimate journalist.
Right. And your job is to ask uncomfortable questions. And, you know, and like I say, I'm really happy. Like, you know, as somebody who teaches media studies and all that, I'm really grateful that everybody's sort of dissecting Gail and sort of like really sort of taking a look at her. But what mm-hmm. we just have to keep remembering, and she deserves, she dishes it out. She has to get back the criticism. But when it's crossed lines, like Snoop crossed a line, and there are too many people in our community that are yesing him on and goading him on. And that's what I'm most disturbed about this.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree. Well, two things about that. I think if you want to be respectful, ask the hard question. And what we've shared with you tonight is just a portion of that hard question segment. There were other comments, discussions, questions in that. For me to feel comfortable and still do your job, you can ask the question, the uncomfortable question, maybe get the second one in, and then move on.
Yes.
And just let it go. And my criticism prior to her throwing CBS under the bus is that she didn't just move on. You know, there were other, she pressed the issue. And I think that's the thing that I wouldn't necessarily call it disrespectful. I mean, I would just call it bad taste.
So if that was disrespectful, then what was Snoop and all his neighbors?
Oh, hold on now. I was talking about the interview.
But I do think that he has to be accountable, just like we want Gail to be accountable for her awkward question to somebody who had no business being asked that question.
Well,
like, we should hold him accountable and all the people, again, who are continuing to enable it in our community. Well, that's the thing that's so depressing about this whole thing.
Depressing, I would call it, that is depressing at best. I think that what he said egregious, it was foul, it was, as he said, out of pocket, it was out of all pockets. Mm-hmm. Because I think that, you know, we can criticize without you know, being offensive. We can disagree without certainly being disagreeable. And the thing that may be, in the context of this conversation, even more offensive is this non-apology that we heard from Snoop afterwards.
Right.
Go right ahead.
I spoke for the people who felt like Gail was very disrespectful towards Kobe Bryant and his family. Now, with that being said, what I look like wants some harm to come to a 70-year-old woman. I was raised way better than that. I didn't want no harm to come to her and didn't threaten her. All I did was say, check it out. You out of pocket.
Yeah, raised better than that. That was a really ironic statement. But, I think that he is now defending his statement instead of apologizing for being foul and obtuse
and violent.
Yes, yeah. Well,
like the language right. was violent, and that's abusive. Yeah, it's abusive.
And let's not be honest. Let's be really all the way real and all the way live with it. Just
go
like
ahead.
Gail has a bag to protect, so does Snoop. And you know, you can't be calling women those kind of names and then stand up next to Martha in the kitchen the next day. So
I wonder what Martha has to say about that.
Although he's done it plenty of time in his music, but you know as we talked about before,
right.
he's in his 40s. He's talking about she's 70. What is Snoop? Snoop is...
Well, she's 65, but still.
Snoop is getting up there, too.
Where it's like, let's also talk about the fact that actually Kobe did speak on it. He spoke on it in 2018. He talked about how the evolution of the Black Mamba personality, that was a response to Colorado, which, look, accusations or actual incident happened, you know? So it's this whole idea that, like, we have to sit here and sanitize this very complete, complex human being, as I hope we all are. It is ridiculous. He's not expecting. I don't think that was his expectation. He talked about it himself. It is not a look, LA is
LA.
Kobe
right now. You yeah. know, like all Kobe all day, all night. His legacy is not in danger. He will be beloved. He will be revered. He will be one of the greatest, period. He was also a human being.
Yes, and that doesn't right, and that doesn't take away from the humanity and the fact that we're all flawed. And I think that, you know, it's like this fantasy. It's like this patriarchal fantasy, and that's even with this girl dad stuff. You know, it's like it's this whole patriarchal fantasy that people are really in the black. Like we really cling to that so much. We
explain,
want this
explain that.
Well, just this sort of perfect dad that's this perfect provider, and you know, perfectly. Just perfect, you know, just this idea of this perfect human being. And I've never met a perfect human being, you know.
So you think that girl dad is a now I, as the father of a daughter, okay, and an imperfect human being. I think that's an overstatement. I don't think that hashtag girl dad is a demonstration of perfection between fathers and daughters. I think it is simply a demonstration of love between fathers and daughters. I don't why would you say that it is no. No. Come
well,
on.
Wait,
no, come on.
No, because you're well, because basically all I'm saying is that, okay, so I as the daughter of a dad,
okay.
And you know, and I had a wonderful dad.
I bet
right?
You
and so
did.
I feel like I could speak on that as much as anybody, but my dad was wonderful. He was terrible. He was wonderful. He was you know, like there was
to
good,
you?
There was good, just as a human being.
Okay.
You know, and he was like and so but the whole thing around it, first of all, it's sort of one of these things where you're celebrating. So yeah, girls are marginalized, right? And the whole thing came out of the fact like, oh my God, Kobe, you've got all these girls. Don't you want a boy? Isn't that better? You know, and he's saying, no. Like girls are, I'm great. This is who I am. I'm happy with my girls, right? Which is like, to me, like the basic level of humanity. Like, yes, girls are just as good as boys. Like, you don't get extra points for that to say girls are excessive. Like, that's the norm. Like, you know, that's just the norm. So it's just another example of people trying to celebrate things that should be taken for granted that no, having a girl and being a dad, is just as good as being a boy.
That just makes you a father.
Yeah, period. It makes you a father, and which is great, and that's worthy of being celebrated.
And that's what I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. If his death, you know, Miss Kai has, you know, and he was a high profile father of all girls. Which,
well, you know, I gotta say, what yeah. the girl dad thing brought home for me, actually, coupled with Snoop's response, is, and I hate this, but doesn't that bring us full circle to the response to Bill Cosby? Because here was Bill Cosby, quote unquote, America's dad. Forget just girls, America's dad. And America's dad was black. And America's dad also had a really troubled, dark, you know, private life. And this idea that unfortunately, you know, we need to revere any black man who has appeared to be a good father. Look, my father was amazing as well. So I'm sitting here like, to me, black fathers being amazing is not an anomaly. And while I will always lift that up and I will always protect that and I will always shout out my dad because he's dope. You know, I'm also not going to play this game. I'm not going to play these games like, you know, that's true across the board, or that every man who shows up to be a father for his children, whether they're girls, boys, or figuring it out.
Like, they need a trophy. Like Chris Rock had that great, you know, you're supposed to get a trophy for doing what you're supposed to do.
Right. Yeah. And I agree with that. I don't think that despite, you know, the stereotypes that would prompt people to want a trophy or prompt someone to give you applause. Okay, I get that. But I still take exception to the hashtag, you know, that you... And let me be clear. Do you like hashtag girl dad or not? Do you have...
I talked to my friend Natalie Moore. We talked about this on Twitter because she was like, unpopular tweet. I don't like girl dad. You know, and you know, and what I responded back to her was that I don't like to police how people mourn or celebrate. Like, if you want to post a picture of you and your dad, go for it. I did, though, think about thankfully I'm not one, but you know, I do think about all the girls whose dads are abusive. absent
or absent.
Are not there.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and how that must feel, because that's common.
I think it was triggering for a lot of people, actually. I mean, at least what I saw in my timelines, which are not exclusively Black, and I saw it from across the board. I think a lot of people were actually triggered by Girl Dad, because if you didn't have one, I mean, granted, Kobe was exceptional in this sense only because most people don't have four girls.
Yeah.
They just don't, you know, so Girl Dad on him, okay, because literally that's a lot of kids, period, let alone a lot of girls. But
yeah, so there's anything wrong with it. So it's good. Like, we should say, and we should celebrate. Like, I love my dad, you know, like, and I appreciate him, and I appreciate everything that he did. But there was something very performative about it, and something very, you know, again, ironic. Like, there's something, I think, Maisha, you hit on it. The fact that Bill Cosby got back in the conversation, that's what I'm talking about. When I talk about a patriarchal fantasy,
I just want to be clear.
Within the Black community, that's what I'm talking about. You know, this idea that the man is going to come back and they're going to just fix everything and they're going to take their place at the rightful head and they're going to be the ones that, you know, sort of rescue us. And all we have to do is make sure that their image is right and protect their legacy. And that's the only thing that matters. Forget about anything else that might have to do with that.
Yeah, that's separate from what I was saying.
Yeah,
you know, like I said, I just didn't find anything wrong with, you know, the hashtag Girl Dad, and, you know, for those fathers who were abusive, not around, irresponsible, and it triggered something in them, let it. Because they should have been there if they could.
Well, I'm talking about for their daughters.
I get it. Absolutely. And as a matter of fact, you know, a dear friend of mine who had a wonderful, wonderful relationship with her father, and he is deceased. Yeah, it was difficult for her, but she could still appreciate that. So I think that it did have, you know, an impact on a lot of things. The Bill Cosby thing, Bill, what are you doing?
Please just stay in jail. Why are you operating a social media account in jail?
I thought he couldn't see.
Your data community, please.
I thought Bill couldn't see. And he's tweeting? I don't.
And he's popping up at the most, like, he's commenting on all kinds of things.
Yeah.
You know?
How about that? Let me go back to the phone lines. Aham, help me with that, from D.C. Is it Aham?
Yes, hi, good evening.
All right, go right ahead, quickly, please.
Yeah, I'll be quick. Excellent conversation. It's been a joy listening to this on my drive up north. I just want to make a comment that there's a nuance to this, and interestingly, one of your speakers had talked about nuance as a topic. To me, everybody's wrong. You know, first of all, Snoop is way wrong. She doesn't even belong in the same conversation. It's not an apples and apples with Gail. I think where Gail went wrong is she failed to appreciate the audience. And, you know, there's an emotional intelligence that was lacking here. In my lifetime, I'll probably say, going backwards, the grief, the community grief from this, I'll say Michael Jackson, Princess Diana, Aaliyah, Bob Marley, Marvin Gaye. When they died, there was a significant grief in the community that we're experiencing with Kobe. And so this is not the right time to bring that up.
Okay, but when is the right time?
It's not in the grieving period. You know, I think if someone talked about Aaliyah's affair with R. Kelly right after she died, or Michael Jackson's accusations.
They did.
Right after.
Yep.
I think some parts of the audience are going to fail to appreciate that and maybe even be offended. So I think if one listened to the entire conversation with Gail, it probably was a layup that she was throwing. She probably was very sympathetic and really bringing Kobe in a positive light. But that one part of the interview was bad, and she did not really appreciate that and control it. So
thank you for your phone call. I disagree with that. I do think she had an appreciation for Kobe Bryant. I think that, and I also think that people were just particularly sensitive because he was, well, I won't use that word, Ms. Kai, universally, but he was well loved. I'll take that criticism, but I'll take it from you, not Dr. Hopkinson. I need some support here in the room.
You didn't have to love Kobe in life to mourn him in death. I'll say that.
Right.
Boy, you were just knocking him out of the park tonight with your one-liners. Thank you so much for that. I appreciate that. John, calling from Temple Hills. What's on your mind?
Yes, sir. Good evening, everyone. I think Gail is dead wrong.
Dead wrong for what?
For her comment, her questions, because the man just passed away, along with his daughter and the other people that were on the helicopter with them. For her not to be sympathetic to the family and ask different questions. I know she's a journalist, but she could have asked different questions at that time. What do you think Kobe's wife would say if she ran into Gail on the street right now?
I think that Kobe's wife is somebody who's been in the public eye for most of her adult life. I think she's lived a very, she has the lifestyle that she's enjoyed because she's a public figure and she's married to a public figure. And so this is what comes with it, in that you're going to get questions that aren't flattering to you and that maybe you don't like the timing of. You don't actually get to control that. And so that's what part of, like, you know, the job of the journalist, journalists are people who are not loved. Like, you know, journalists are not loved people because we are always asking questions that nobody wants to answer. But that's part of what the job is. And thank God somebody is doing that. I don't know, but this is not like Watergate, right? But, you know, like it's somebody has to do that. That's a job there's a function in society for that, to asking the questions that are hard and that provoke conversation. And, you know, we're still having a conversation about it.
Okay. John, thank you so much. I really do think that was a great answer, Dr. Hopkinson, to that question, because, we often see Vanessa as Kobe Bryant's wife and not a person who, because she has been with him for so long, that she does not have a full understanding of the depth and breadth of the life that his celebrity has brought.
And she was with him in 2003 when Colorado happened.
Exactly. She was probably very painful for her at the time.
They went through a very public, almost divorce. I mean, this is not, she's not new to this. And frankly, I would assume that her focus right now, and I from what she's posted today, which was heartbreaking, is on her children.
Yeah.
And, you know, her remaining children, save the 17-year-old, probably not focused on this right now. And I would assume that her 17-year-old is also aware of her father's legacy in totality. I commend, like, you know, Vanessa Bryant, I send her all the love in the world for how she has to move forward now.
Mm. Do you believe that this may in some way, shape, or form come to an interview with Snoop Dogg about his comments about who's going to be the journalist who sits down with Snoop and asks him the questions? And it could be anyone, but do you think that someone needs to have that sit down with him?
Snoop has told us exactly who he is.
Hello.
And he can be contrite, which Kobe actually was. You know, where he actually used the whole incident was an opportunity for him to reflect. And as Maisha wrote beautifully in her piece, you know, this is actually, this darkest time was the thing that allowed Black Mamba, you know, I don't watch this either.
To evolve, to
sort of come. And that sort of like, and that's, you know, that's really sort of like the Black story too. You know, out of the depths of pain, you know, you rise and you come back bigger, you rise again. And so he used this as an opportunity to grow. With Snoop, I just don't have a lot of hope for that. I'm hoping that all, I really hope that some of the people who were cheering him on, like I saw Jamie Foster Brown on Sister to Sister on Instagram. I was like, you know what? I had to unfollow her because I was like, this is not like, I just can't even believe that we're even, this is something that we are supporting and enabling. And, you know, because we are perpetuating this sort of rape culture, we're perpetuating all these silences that are around these issues that are very important. So whether, you know, criticize her style and, you know, her phrasing and her timing and all that other stuff, you know, to raise questions about this topic, it's never a wrong time to raise questions, you know, and to sort of have a conversation about it.
Ms. Kai?
You know, yeah. First of all, Dr. Hopkinson says it so well. And I don't know that I have a button to put on that other than Snoop said what he wanted to say. And frankly, if you actually went to his Instagram, part of my job is going to people's Instagrams, he stood strong, proud, and wrong in that over and over again and has continued to. So, you know, for me, his apology is as performative as anything else happening right here. Our you know, rebranding of him as the lovable uncle, dead. And you know, like, deal with that. Deal with that the same way Gail's going to have to deal with her fallout. If everybody's wrong, then everybody's wrong. That's what I have to say about it.
What do you think is the lesson for Gail in all of this? Do you think this kind of thing, even though she's a veteran?
The CBS won't save you.
And protect your neck. I don't care how big you are. You better watch everything that comes out of that shop, or you better have somebody trusted in very high levels of authority at CBS so that you make sure that the clips don't come up. Because you don't, like, you look weak when you say, oh, I didn't know they were going to do that with that.
Right. What was that?
But they, and I think that's the point also that I was making with the R. Kelly or any interview that you do. That is how these things are promoted. What is the most hard, what is the hardest hitting piece of the piece?
Yep.
Let's do that. And, you know, what did CBS do with R. Kelly? They didn't have him sitting there calmly, just, they had him jumping up. That was the hardest hitting piece of the piece. It became, you know,
but they can't get it if you don't give it.
Yeah, that's true.
But you, I mean, if you're in her position, then you can
do something. You're going to try to get it.
Well, no, you're going to get it, but you also should be part of overseeing all aspects of it. You know, and the thing is, you know, we're the media. It's a cap. These aren't. It's not PBS that she's on. You know, like this is. These are public. You know, these are capitalistic. They're there to make money. And nothing makes money more than playing into stereotypes and having these sort of awkward moments. And this is part of what the game is, unfortunately. And so she just needs to try to play it better or be, you know, or at least don't act like you're not in that game.
Yeah. And that was my point. To say that CBS threw you under the bus, you knew everything that you said. During the course of that interview, and that any given time, anything that you said or was said in that interview could very well have made it into some kind of a promo. And I think that if it didn't make it, if it didn't tick people off, we wouldn't be here.
Yeah. And I mean, and again, that's like, that's what the people are looking. Those are what audiences are expecting. And that's what the media, the news media delivers over and over again. That's what social media amplifies. You know, it's the worst moment. It's the train wreck. You know, people stop. It's like a psychological response. People stop to take a look at that accident on the side. There's, you know, and so that's just, it's a natural human resources. And that's what the media plays into and profits.
There you go. I think we're going to end right there. Dr. Natalie Hopkinson and Maisha Kai, thank you both so much for sharing with us. And definitely love Ms. Kai's one-liners.
Oh, yeah. It's a great piece, too. Read her piece on the roof.
We'll have to do that. Thank you so much. That is The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Tuesday, February 11th. I'm Harold Fisher. Now stay tuned for The Connection. Good night.